Hey, 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 what is going on? Welcome back to the Rogue Pod. Your man Hendo here and my co-host Rodney. How you feeling tonight, sir?
You know, I this is the first time I just looked up and caught the end of the intro. And it's the first time I noticed that you got that Florida State bullshit in there, and I don't like that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
This is how we starting the show off.
Well, I mean, if I waited to tell you, I would forget.
Okay, well, you know what?
It's the problem.
I will let you. I'm working on a new intro anyway.
Nice.
For the off season. Cool. So, you know, if you want to give your input or you want to help me to
Florida State, there's my input.
All right, let's start the show. I've always wanted to start a show off like this. And okay. Unfortunately, it's not what I thought it was going to be when it actually happened. But I'm glad that it happened anyway. So what we're going to start off with is breaking news. Breaking news.
Incredible.
Within the last hour, the Baltimore Ravens have re-signed Nelson Aguilar to a one-year deal. Welcome back, Nelly.
Prophet.
I was going to say that to you. I was going to say we have a prophet amongst us. And, you know, I don't know if you called it or just act of fate, just...
I just called it in our video too, which I mean I don't know if it's actually out yet because we're waiting for approval. But yeah, he said bring back Nelson. I think that's a great move.
You just said it. You did say it. You think it's a great move?
Yeah, I think Nelson played very well for y'all. And he's going to be in that wide receiver three, wide receiver role, four role for you. And then it's fantastic. He's a talented guy, but he has his mishaps, so you don't want him too high up on the depth chart. But you know, I think that's a great signing.
For me, it's I'm a little blah, you know.
Yeah, you're a hater, I know.
I'm not a hater. It is what it is. Listen, I picked Nelson Aguilar to be possibly our best wide receiver last season. Mm-hmm. Just to me, it just feels like a reactionary move. Coach Evans just came out with a short, make sure y'all check it out, saying that he, you know, we don't know if it has anything to do with the Zay Flowers situation.
You know damn well they ain't gonna do a goddamn thing about Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers could go in front of the castle, go on IG Live and proclaim his guilt, and they won't do a damn thing about it. It's zero tolerance for guys who can't ball.
You're right. Okay, so it and I agree. It really has nothing to do with Zay Flowers. To me, I think it's more of the Ravens kind of messed up a little bit. They like Nelson Aguilar. He had decent production last season. He had 35 catches for 381 yards, four touchdowns, decent production. He dropped some balls, but this is what we expected from him. I just think for me, it was more of the fact that for some reason, the in vogue thing for the Baltimore Ravens is for them to use void years. Like it's something new to them. Like it just occurred, hey, let's use these void years to kind of manipulate the cap. And if they hadn't have done anything with Nelson Aguilar by the Monday deadline at 4 p.m., they would have incurred $1.7 million in dead money. So I think it was more of, listen, we might as well pay him because I'm sure they're going to pay him something similar to that amount and have a player in just so we can say we did something. So I don't really think this was just a major, major signing.
Oh, my God.
I just think that as an organization, we can do better. And, you know, I put out a video earlier. I put out a video earlier today talking about the Ravens and their mishaps since 2019, as far as the offense goes, as far as picking up players that are kind of marginal or people in name only, instead of fortifying this offense like they do the defense. And a lot of people have their reactions to it, which I figured would happen. But to me, if you need the best examples of this, it would be 2 years ago when, once again, as always, we were clamoring for a wide receiver. Ravens are like, you know, Pox is kind of thin today, but they wanted to go out and trade for Xavier Howard, who had a $15 million salary at that time. We're like, okay, we let that pass. Then we go to last season, or the start of last season, when we signed Odell Beckham Jr. Everybody said, go get DeAndre Hopkins. Go get DeAndre Hopkins. Please, for the love of God, get DeAndre Hopkins. Ravens and their fans said, hey, we don't have the money to spend on a wide receiver. But when they went to try to go trade for Darius Slay from the Eagles, it was all about go get him. I don't care what it costs. Make sure you bring it in. So I just think that this organization in the front office is derelict in their duties when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. And they make signings like this all the time. I know a lot of people are happy. I mean, I'm happy that they didn't let him go and then resign Devin Duvernay, because that would have been a tragedy. But I do think that the Ravens still need to go out and sign somebody else that Lamar can count on.
I don't know why you hate that man so much.
I don't hate Devin Duvernay. I wanted him to
clearly do. You very clearly do.
I don't hate Devin Duvernay. I hated the fact that, once again, we are a team that spoke about salary cap restrictions, but we were paying someone $4 million to return, as you put it yourself, 32 kicks for the season.
Yeah, look, I mean, he was still on his rookie deal, right?
It's still $4 million against a cap.
I can't do nothing about that. He's fine. But what I did, I don't know if you saw it in the chat. It looks like an announcement to me. Life with Yolanda. No longer okay. Yolanda B. But okay, life well, with Yolanda. And that sounded like that sounds like a channel announcement.
Okay. Well, I was just about to get to the chat, and let's see who we got in here with us today. We're going to find out about that. Of course, we had Brandon Bazell first. We got our new subscriber, Pay the Bills. He said, kick it off early. Appreciate you for subscribing to the channel, brother. What's going on, Andrew? How you feeling? Coach Evans is in the house. Team Coach. Toxic. Team Toxic, 100% through and through. Zeke Okage, how you doing, my friend? We got my baby girl, Jazzy, in the house. What's Mr. Up, Galloway, what's going on? Come on, Dre. How you feeling? Killer Cam's in the house. MDT, Nelly's back. You sound really happy about that. Not too happy at all. We got Agnes in the house. Thank you for dropping by. And here we go. Life with Yolanda. Good evening, Rogue family. Good evening to you, Yolanda. Is this an announcement? Do you wish to come on the show? And do you have something that you want to tell the people? Like, is this something that you want to tell us? Because it's, you know, no longer Yolanda B. Raven. It's now Life with Yoli. Right, we got Blackula in the house. What's going on? What's going on, Chef? Living Big with Big Reg. How you feeling tonight, my brother? All right, let's get into this news so we can get out of here, because we're not staying here long. I know people got things to do. The All-Star game is about to come on. I personally have things to do after this stream. So the first topic that we are going to jump into is, what five free agents do you believe the Baltimore Ravens should sign this offseason? Prophet Bradley.
Nelson Aguilar. I got that one.
You got that one.
So that was one.
That was one.
Alpha said Chuma. Sorry if I mispronounced his name. Edoga, the tackle from the Dallas. He was from Dallas this year, I believe, but that's a picture of him with the Jets. I think he was with Dallas. I'm not 100% sure. I might have read it wrong. But this guy, not somebody you want to bring in as a starter. But the Ravens desperately need depth on their O-line as well, particularly at tackle. And I think he'd be a cheap addition. There's not a whole lot of guys like that out there in free agency. So, you know, the pickings were slim, as it were, but I went with Chuma. So, you know, just because. Then we are going to go into the actual, you know, improve the team signings. Okay. We've got Saquon Barkley.
Of course.
Now, again, these are the top line players I'm talking about here. There are several running backs available who Baltimore could sign, but you start with Saquon. You start at the top. I mean, there was already a report out there. They say they are kind of looking at Derrick Henry, but you know, Saquon's out there. Josh Jacobs is out there. Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard. There's a lot of guys, but you start with Saquon,
of course,
and then looking at Onwenu. The guard from the New England Patriots. Now, this is a guy that you would be bringing in to take over that left guard spot from John Simpson, who should be hitting those happy trails on elsewhere. Well, you know, as fair as to say, moseying on down the road to scam his next team. Well, I should say Stan. He played as well as he could play. But they need to upgrade the O-line desperately. So you bring back Kevin Zeitler on the right side, sign Owen on the left side, and you're well on your way. And then last, Michael Pittman out of the Indianapolis Colts, give you that solid number one wide receiver to pair with Zay Flowers, and now Nelson Aguilar, right? And then Rashad Bateman coming in that wide receiver four spot, and you're looking good. Trade Mark Andrews for a day two pick. Get Isaiah Likely in there.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, appreciate you. All right, $3 donation from Zeke. Appreciate you, man. Says, Hendo, Unk, second only streamer I've ever donated to. Much love. Much love to you as well. Appreciate you for supporting the show, even if you don't donate. But I do appreciate the donations as well. Thank you so very much. Now, I am going to get into my top five free agents. Now, for me, this was a thought-out process, and there were some names that I left off of my list because we have so many needs across the board, especially offensively. But I am not Neanderthalic in my ways.
I better not see no goddamn Florida State Seminole edge rusher on this list.
You will not, sir.
Okay.
You will not. I am not Neanderthalic in my ways to know that we do need some help on the defense. Like I said before last season, and of course, I had a lot of haters coming at me telling me, you don't know ball. You don't know what you talk about. You're a nobody. What are you saying? I said, listen, all of these things don't matter during the regular season. The defense is playing well under Mike McDonald. If he leaves, we may have an issue. But during the playoffs, we're going to need somebody that can win one-on-ones. We're going to need somebody when the game is on the line. Can he beat his man without scheme? And Justin Madubuike, to an extent, was that guy. But when we needed that play, when we needed that Chris Jones type impact on the game, it is something we did not do. So for me, this will be the only defender that I do believe that the Baltimore Ravens should go after this offseason, coming in at number five, and that would be Brian Burns.
God damn it. God damn it, bro. We just talked about this. You just said he wasn't.
He's not a Florida State pass rusher. He's a Carolina Panthers pass rusher. You didn't say former Florida State Seminole. You just said Florida State pass rusher. He's a Carolina Panther. And I do think
it's not ready. You said Khalil Mack. They said whoever.
But Khalil Mack's a little bit older. I wouldn't mind having Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack had a much better year than Brian Burns did.
He did, but out of his 13 sacks, only six, not only, six of them came in one game.
Six of them came in one game? That means in the other 16 games, he had almost as many as Brian Burns.
What did Brian Burns have around him?
Derrick Brown.
And?
What do you mean, and? He set the record for tackles from a defensive tackle. What do you mean, and?
The defense is always on the field. I mean, what else? Okay, you got me. But I do think in this scheme, with the surrounding players that we have, I think Brian Burns would be a welcome addition. Now, coming in at number four, this is not going to be popular for a lot of people. What are you laughing at?
Laughing at Jay.
Jay starting stuff again.
No.
and I hear it in the Brownie voice too. But coming in at number four, which is not a popular pick for most people, but I think it's a popular pick for me, it would be Hollywood Brown. I think that Hollywood Brown is good for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is good for Hollywood Brown. And for me, most importantly, even though we have a smaller type receiver in Zay Flowers, I think that Lamar and Hollywood have that deep ball connection. I don't think that that Zay and Lamar have developed that chemistry just yet, but it was apparent from the first game, that Miami game in 2019, listen, they connected on two deep balls. And I just think that bringing him back, getting him back home with a new offensive coordinator, pairing him with Zay Flowers, having Nelson Aguilar be our number four, and actually bringing in a true number one, I think this will take this offense to a different stratosphere. Now, for my number three, I considered Michael Pittman. But I was just like, would he be able to do or replicate the numbers he has, not being the focal point of an offense? And not saying that he would be bad, Brian. I'm not saying he would be bad for the team, Brian. Not at all.
No, that's not what I was saying. I was like, why would he not be the focal point of the offense in Baltimore?
Who's the head coach? Who's the offensive coordinator? Trust me, the only thing I turned down was my collar. So if he decided he wanted to come and join the Baltimore Ravens, I'll take him. But for me, instead of going Michael Pittman, and I know this is the short term, and I've said this many times, we need to get a wide receiver, a dominant number one wide receiver that Lamar can grow with. I still think that
Carolina wide receiver, Mike Evans. God.
I think that the Baltimore Ravens should sign Mike Evans. Mike Evans set NFL history this season, being the first receiver to start his career with 10 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. And a lot of people thought Mike Evans was slowing down, just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But even if you saw him in the playoffs, he made Baker Mayfield look like a number one overall pick. Now, granted, Baker Mayfield had some tiny bit to do with it, but I do believe that Mike Evans would be a welcome sight, especially if the Ravens draft another young wide receiver and he takes time to develop, because we don't need these young guys carrying the weight of a franchise on their back. So for me, Mike Evans would be my number three. Now, number two. This is a position that is sorely needed. And for me, I went back and forth on it. This guy right here, over his career, has been one of the most dominant at his position. But we kind of sort of run into the same issue that we've run into with Ronnie Stanley. Good player, great player, but is he always going to be available? So for me, even if we get him to replace Morgan Moses on the right side, I think we should sign Tyron Smith. Arguably the best tackle outside of Trent Williams. And Trent Williams kind of had a down year. Like, even during the playoffs, Trent Williams is getting beat like a drum. But I think the Ravens should sign him to the offensive line. Listen, cut Morgan Moses, save that $5 million. I don't know what to do with Ronnie Stanley, to be quite honest, because we don't have a replacement for him. So I think bringing in Tyron Smith would do wonders for this offensive line. And for me, it goes a little bit beyond just talent. It goes with attitude, because he has a nasty streak to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not one of those nice guys that's going to help the opposition up.
Like Ronnie. He's not
like Ronnie. You know what I'm saying? If somebody hits Lamar, he's going to knock him over. He's going to do the things that we need and bring back that attitude that we need on this team. But for that reason, Baltimore Ravens probably won't sign him. And for my number one free agent, and I think unequivocally, this is a consensus that the vast majority believes that the Baltimore Ravens should sign this player, Saquon Barkley. Got to get him. We got to get him. I don't know how, when, who, what, or why the Baltimore Ravens decided under Jonathan Harbaugh that they want to be the most run-dominant team of an era, which is cool to an extent. It's cool. But to me, how can you say you want to be the most dominant, you want to be the best every season, you want to lead the league, but yet and still you run with second and third string running backs and hope to accomplish? Now, I know a lot of it has to do, and Brian is going to tell you, a lot of this has to do with Lamar and what he brings to the table. They're scared of him running, so it frees up the running backs for extra yardage. So if you want to be this run dominant team, why don't you go get yourself that running back that, regardless if Lamar's in there or not, you can rely on him to get the ball, get the yards, get the touchdowns, and he can catch out the backfield. And more importantly, as an organization, you can't tell me, and there's no way that John Harbaugh can sit in front of a press conference and after a playoff loss and say, well, we only gave Saquon Barkley the ball two times. I don't know what happened. He cannot do that. He cannot do that without getting fired on the spot. So we need to get the players in to hold these coaches accountable, because, of course, you know, a lot of us are going to say, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, you know, I can kind of understand why he didn't get them the ball. I can't understand him. You did it all season long and it worked. But to me, if you bring in that absolute stud to run the ball, it alleviates and eliminates all excuses.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. They would be very foolish to not go after Saquon Barkley. Daniel says smaller receivers are the only ones that work here because we only want our receivers to stretch the field to open up running lanes. We're not interested in production. That's how dumb we are. But who was a bigger receiver that had talent that was in Baltimore, Daniel? I mean, you can't be like only smaller receivers work there. You haven't had good receivers.
This is facts. Our leading receiver was 5'10". Our leading receiver in Ravens history is 5'10". It's Derek Mason.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to go all the way back, Anquan Boldin's a big receiver. He performed quite well.
He was only 6'1".
I thought he was 6'2". But I mean, that's big.
Compared to what we normally have.
That's still big. I mean
of course.
You know, when you're talking size on receivers, it goes from 5'9" to 6'5". So I mean, if you're over six, you're big, right?
In the Baltimore system, I agree. Yes, that was 12 years ago, but yet and still.
Okay, so, but Daniel, who have you had who with any kind of size who had talent? I mean, y'all try with Miles Boykin. He's just not good. That's not a Baltimore thing.
Tommy Streeter, Marlon Brown. Who else did we have that was your boy that everybody said was the savior of this offense?
Kamar Aiken. Who? Savior of the offense.
Man, undrafted free agent.
Undrafted free agent.
We just caught him last year. What is Kai his name?
Polk or in
Yeah, I can see. I can picture Shamar, who he is.
Shamar Bridges.
Shamar Bridges. Yeah. Yes, the savior of this offense. 6'5". Everybody's like, we need him. We gotta have him. He's 6'5". He couldn't play, and this is a problem that we have with Baltimore and their practices. We get players with height and speed and weight, but we don't actually ask them, can they play? Let's look at Ben Cleaver. So there's that. Wow.
That's rough. Just throwing shots at Ben Cleveland like that.
I'm not throwing shots at Ben Cleveland, but it
feels like you threw a shot at Ben Cleveland right there. Hey, you had 6'1 DeMarcus Robinson, and he was the best wide receiver on the team. So, you know. But, you know, I think the bigger issue here, even bigger than whether or not Baltimore has a size issue or a wide receiver, is why Baltimore Ravens content creators don't know how to collaborate. See, because I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, and you made up a list of five free agents that stole two of the players who should be playing for Carolina next year. There's a big, you know, a vast ocean of possibilities out there, and you zeroed in on the two players, one who is already playing in Carolina and one who played for Carolina's new head coach, and I don't understand it. You want Taylor Moten too? You want to trade you J.C. Horn?
Oh.
Or maybe you want to grab Frankie Louvu out of free agency?
We'll take him.
Get you a little pass rush?
We'll take him. So to your question, why don't Ravens content creators collaborate? Because I think because there are two sides to the Ravens coin. I think there's a side of the coin that says, hey, I'm going to look at things and be objective in my thoughts. You know, I'm going to call it as I see it. Mm-hmm. I may not be right 100% of the time, but I'm trying to call it as I see it. You have the other side that Jose says this an awful lot. They want to get jobs with the organization. They want to rub elbows with the players. So they're not going to give you their true thoughts on everything that goes on. They're just going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And those two don't kind of mesh together. And on the other hand, just the Ravens fan base as a whole, we aren't as cohesive as if you watch other teams. Because I watch other teams' fan bases and their YouTubers all the time. Like, I watch all YouTubers. I don't care what your team is. And I just see how all of the guys come together, how they mention each other, how they cross stream. I see how their fans, regardless of what your take is, they watch everybody. Our fans don't do that. Our fans feel like they have to pick mom or they have to pick dad. Like, it's a divorce, and they have to go with one of them. They can't just see each other.
You took this in a whole different direction. Get Brian Burns off your list. And Daniel, no, that's not what they want. They're not, I promise you, they're not spending first round picks on receivers and saying, we don't want you to produce.
Facts, Blackula. We can't even get our own fans to support our QB. They turn on Lamar to drive him for dime. But also to your point, Brian, and I was thinking about this early, and I was actually going to make a speech about this. It's a good thing you brought it up. You know, I was thinking about how, like, especially in Coach Evan's stream, when we stream on Monday nights, 9 p.m., sip to tally, a lot of people say, hey, Brodney's a Panthers fan. What is he talking about? And I was thinking earlier of how Brodney, as a Panthers fan, knows a lot more about this organization than the so-called real Ravens fans. He knows more in-depth stats. Transactions. He knows all of the things that a lot of these people don't know. So this is why Brody can talk on it. This is why Brody's a Ravens fan. He won't admit it to y'all. He admits it to me off screen. He admits it to me off screen. He won't admit it to y'all. But he is a Ravens fan. How else could you know so much about a team?
Because I have to watch the Ravens every week.
What's up, TDS? You don't have to watch them. You can get the Cliff Notes version.
all the worst.
You said, Agnes, you said you all are mentioned on certain streams. Yeah. And I'm not even going to lie to you. Even as petty as I am, because I'm super petty person. In the beginning, I don't care if I liked you or I didn't like you. If you are a Ravens content creator, I shouted you out because I felt like it's one community. And mm-hmm. I felt like we were all supposed to stick together, regardless if you like their content, if you like them as a person or not. We're all trying to do the same thing. And we're all trying to build up this Ravens community. Some people are trying to do it for other reasons, and they're in it for that selfish vein to kind of promote themselves. Me personally, I feel like if I can help build this whole community up, I go up with it. So I don't have to go out here and try to be like me. It's all me. I'm the best. Because I'm actually the worst, but you know, I just hold on to the coattails and ride along.
You can look at the subscriber numbers and the view count. No, that's not true. But yeah, man, that's cool. Cool. Get Brian Burns off your list. It's the point. All right. Stop talking around the point. That's what I'm saying. All right. Hassan Reddick. He's right there.
I'll take Hassan Reddick. Wasn't he a former Panther?
God damn. Yes, he was a former Panther. They let him go, so he's fair game now. You can have Hassan Reddick. You can have Khalil Mack. You can have Josh Allen.
So, under the cover of this conversation we're having right now, the Carolina Panthers were offered 2 first-round picks and a second?
I think it was a third.
Okay, 2 first-round picks and a third for Brian Burns. And you turned him down.
I didn't, but yeah.
I mean, not you, but the organization turned him down. Not only did they turn him down, did they give him a fifth-year option?
Yeah. But
he got a fifth-year option, but they didn't sign him to an extension. So right. What was the point?
He's a free agent now.
So what was the point of holding on to him for a lost season? Because you knew with the head coach you had, with the offensive line that you had, just collectively as an organization, you were no closer to a Super Bowl. So what does this one piece, even if he did get you 13 sacks, what does that one piece get you? You didn't want him, Rodney. Not you personally, but your organization. You didn't want him.
No. I wanted them to trade him when they got an offer for 2 first-round picks plus another pick. I mean, he's not worth that.
Right.
So say yes.
But now now he's a free agent. Let him come home. Let him come to a team that'll appreciate him.
What do you mean home? He ain't from Baltimore.
You don't know that.
You know what? Fair enough. Let's all learn together. Let's pull up
football
reference and see where Brian Burns is from.
He's probably from Florida.
He's from American Heritage Plantation in Florida. That's the high school he went to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's from Florida.
Born in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I mean, I was the same. But still, you just come home. So he should be a
Dolphin.
Listen, it's like saying you need to be blood. It's like saying you need to be blood to be family. You don't. If he can come here, we can embrace him. Listen, we love our players outside of Lamar Jackson.
I'm sorry. You're all the Ravens.
I'm sorry. We love our players if they play on defense.
It doesn't fit. He's Spider-Man. You're all the Ravens. The Ravens are nothing. The Ravens. That's a DC nickname, if anything. Right? Like, y'all are like Batman over there with that nonsense. See, Spider-Man and Black Panther go hand in hand.
Thank you, Kobe. Right. Sounds like another South Florida Raven to me. And this is all we built. We're building like South Florida Ravens. So come on home, be with Zay, be with Lamar, be with the rest of them Florida boys. Like, yo, let's make this Florida Maryland.
Zay, let's do that. Ain't much longer.
First of all, where he going, Carolina?
Goddamn right.
I guess you haven't heard the reports.
What reports are those?
That the cops weren't even called. The cops weren't even called on Zay Flowers.
I heard the reports, Hendo. I don't care. All right, justice.
Okay, justice. Wonderful. You guys want justice? You and Jose love Justice Hill so much. You can have Justice Hill. I was just watching the playoff game earlier this morning, and I watched how once again Justice Hill whiffed on a block.
You know, I credit to you because I walked right into that. But I just want to say, stop naming your goddamn kids Justice. It's not a name.
It's not a name.
Concept.
It's not a name. Oh, you saying the fan base is like Poison Ivy? I can't say I disagree with you because we treat Lamar as a fair weather friend. When he's doing well, we love him. He's the best quarterback in the world. But when things don't go right, he gets all the blame. He's the worst quarterback. We need to go let Tyler Huntley play or go sign Baker Mayfield. Mm. Sorry, DDSQ.
You should sign Baker Mayfield.
Yep. Moving on.
We're moving on. We only had the one topic.
No, we didn't. We have several topics. Several topics. All right, Brady. Let me know five.
You didn't even ask me this.
Because I wanted your on the spot reaction. Let me know five needs that you feel the Ravens need to be successful for the 2024 season.
Okay, but here's the thing. Are we defining success as winning the Super Bowl, or are we defining the success like Ravens fans do as, hey, we made the playoffs? Doesn't matter. We got embarrassed again in our first game.
Super Bowl. Just give me five positions. Just give me five positions of need, sir.
I'm sorry. Okay. I mean, if you wanted me to be prepared for the segment, you could have asked me beforehand. Five needs for the Baltimore Ravens next
positions.
Season.
Position needs.
They need a wide receiver, one or two.
Okay.
But I think Zay could be a one. He may not be there yet, but he can be that. You need a left guard. You need a right guard. Mm-hmm. You need a left tackle. You need a right tackle. So, and listen, you know, right guard and right tackle, you know, they can hang on for another season probably. So I'll throw in a bonus one. You need a starting running back because you ain't got one.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Dobbins and Gus are both free agents. They are. And the guy that you're all in love with is
still hurt.
Torn ACL.
And Gus Edwards is not a real running back. So, but Daniel Franklin says,
Hey, listen, I mean, goddamn. Like, I'm not a Gus fan, but I don't go that far. He's a real running back. He's just not very good.
Okay. I'm glad you finally admitted to this. Daniel says, we need a left tackle, offensive guard, wide receiver, running back, right tackle. Mark says, we need Coach Evans to call the plays. We do. Drop OBJ?
Yeah.
Most definitely. Most definitely, but they probably won't because he has void year and they don't want to get the dead money.
Well, they already split up that dead money, so he's, you know, he can go.
Yeah, but it's still dead money that we got to add on to whatever else we got.
But he was on that same deadline as Nelson, and they appear to have made their decision.
You still got till 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Odell.
See, they said drop Odell. Thumbs up.
Right.
So I'm talking about. All right, so the five positions of need that I believe that the Baltimore Ravens need, I believe, once again, going into another offseason for the man that y'all say be cooking, for the man that caused the controversy that got Brody and Jose in Twitter beef, wide receiver. You know what I mean. But wide receiver. It seems like every single season, no matter what we do, the Baltimore Ravens need a wide receiver. Every season. Every season.
I love the way you phrase that, because you're like, no matter what we do, whether it's bringing in a complete unknown at rookie or signing a washed-up veteran, no matter what, we can't seem to fix receiver.
And I mean, you know, think about it. My second need is going to be offensive line, because that's always, it seems to be, another need we go into a season needing. We need a guard. We may need two guards, because we don't know what they're actually going to do with Kevin Zeitler. John Simpson should be gone, but if he agrees to the right price, I'm sure the Ravens will sign him. Ronnie Stanley, don't know. Morgan Moses, he's always been an op. I don't know why people put value. Listen, people put value in a backup tackle because when we signed him, he was a backup who signed for 3 years, $15 million. $15 million is a lot of money for me, but for a starting right tackle in the NFL, it's garbage.
Yeah.
And it tells you he's garbage. And he's had spurts where he's played well. I'm not even going to take that from him. But as a whole, throughout his Ravens career, he hasn't done it for me. I don't think he's protected Lamar like he should have.
NFL career.
I mean, it's facts as well. But offensive line, just throughout. I think we're set at center. Outside of that, we need offensive line. Third need, once again, for another season, EDCB cooking. We need a running back. Mm-hmm. We need a running back for like the last three seasons. And we keep bringing in these retreads and more retreads. And some other retreads. So I think the Ravens need a quality starting running back. Now, we've had the conversations about Derrick Henry, about bringing him in. He's older. He's got a little bit of tread on him. And this may be his last really productive year. If last year was not, I'll take him if he's available at the right price, but I do think that we need to get younger. We need to get a workhorse at running back. Yeah. That way we don't have the conversations of Lamar should have ran more. Lamar should have hit that hole. No, give it to the running back. Let him do what he gets paid to do. The fourth position that the Baltimore Ravens need going into next season is linebacker. Possibly going to lose Pat Queen. I truly believe in my heart of hearts that Pat Queen is gone. And I don't think it is all over money. Now, when somebody puts up $20 million to his face, he can't turn that down. But I just think the disrespect that was given to him, he felt disrespected when he traded for Roquan Smith. They may be homeboys, but it still kind of stings when a job brings in your replacement. Then on top of that, they did not pick up his fifth-year option.
And well, they had to give that money to Roquan.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. You say draft a third-round running back? No.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with Baltimore fans, man.
But yeah, we need to get somebody proven. We need to get somebody that we know is going to be good. Let's see. We need linebackers. Pat Queen's gone. Jadeveon Clowney, he said he wants a raise, and he deserves a raise. And this may be his last semi-big contract. So I think that the Ravens aren't going to sign him. We're going to lose Kyle Van Noy, possibly Malik Harrison. So linebacker is the fourth most important need to me. And the fifth most important need to me is probably going to be defensive line. I was going to say cornerback, but we've gotten by with the cornerback. We may lose Justin Madubuike, who is arguably one of our top three defenders. That just leaves Michael Pierce. First round, Travis Jones, and Broderick Washington. Doesn't breed much confidence to me.
No, but that's the foundation of the D-line, and then you fill in on day three or with cheap veterans and free agency the same way you look at the edge rushers, right? You got a first round pick and a second round pick sitting on the bench and a fourth round pick in Tavius Robinson. So now you just got to fill in that back end, right? Same thing with corner. I mean, you got Brandon Stevens who played really well. You got Marlon Humphrey who was still there. And then you drafted Williams. You drafted Jalen Armour Davis. They did draft Caillou Blue Kelly. It didn't really work out as much as Reginald said it would, but he's still available. you can go get him anytime, right? You can bring back Ronald Darby, and you're good there. You've done the work on defense because Eric DaCosta is a great GM. They haven't done the work on offense. They still need to.
Hey, Reg, did you see my video today? I gave a special shout-out to Caillou Blue Kelly. Special shout-out. Just for him, just because I know that's your guy. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. And for me, and this is something that I forgot to point out in the video also, was when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, just looking at them through their history as a franchise, have the Ravens had more success finding late-round defensive picks or late-round offensive players? I think they've hit on a number of defensive players in the later rounds of the draft. So I think that when you start getting to that fifth and sixth round, maybe fourth, they can go defense then. And they can find these gems that they sometimes, and I will say they develop some of these players, but offensively it's just something that we just can't get a grasp of as an organization. We just cannot develop players. It's a shame and a travesty to me that you may count 2019 or you can go 2023. Some people might go whenever Torrey Smith was drafted, but we have not developed a wide receiver up until recently. All of these years, we haven't developed anyone offensively. What happened to Keith Williams? Like, I thought Keith Williams was supposed to be the wide receiver whisperer. All of a sudden, I look on Twitter, he's interviewing for a job.
Well, look, to be fair, I mean, I would ask the same thing about the pass rush guy. Right.
Jack Smith.
Yeah, because I'm not impressed that Jadeveon Clowney almost got 10 sacks. He was the number two overall pick. He's had that talent all along. He's gotten close before. He didn't do it. Right? Show me Odafe Owe taking somebody's snaps. Right? Show me David Ojabo doing something, and then I'll be impressed with your coaching ability. Don't show me former number one overall pick who, you know, he's been up and down through his career, but has shown that he has pass rush skill all the way through.
So this is what you want, this is what we're doing today? This is what you gonna have me doing today.
What?
Day before holiday, you gonna have me on here defending Odafe Oweh?
You gonna defend Odafe Oweh? He sat his ass on the bench all year.
He did, but throughout his last, I believe, 7 games, he had 5 sacks.
Okay. Why wasn't he the starter? This is the third year for a first round pick, and you got old ass Jadeveon Clowney taking his job.
Because he was the first overall pick of a draft. And Jadeveon should have had more than 10 sacks because he missed like 6
of them. Right, yeah, okay. Well, tell me about Justin Houston's, you know, double-digit sacks season 2. He ain't get them, though, did he? Listen, Odafe Oweh is supposed to be the starter on this team, right? Is he?
Yeah.
No? And let's rewind a bit, but I swear that you said they should go sign Brian Burns, and then I swear you had edge rusher as one of your biggest needs. So you don't expect him to be a starter next year, do you? No, you don't, do you? No, you don't. All right. Well, I was just checking.
All right. Shout out to Terry. I don't know who you are, but I like the cut of your jib. Isn't that what first would say? I like your style. That's right. The Ravens in the first round should draft Keon Coleman. And in that way, we get that Florida State wide receiver that's finally going to break out. And you can quiet some of the people because he is 6'4". So now you get your height, you get your speed, you get your catchability, you get your catch radius. So there you go.
Agnes, in what way is Oweh a keeper? In what way?
Possibly in the same way Patrick Queen and Justin Madubuike are keepers. He's entering his fourth season. He's possibly entering a contract year. He's going to ball out. And then with David Ajabo actually being at the game on the sidelines with his pom-poms cheering him on, he's going to play that much better.
Well, but listen, cool. I hope that happens. And that's why Jose and I say, let Clowney walk, let Van Noy walk, don't sign anybody, and let him play. He has to play for that to happen.
He's the first.
He does not have enough sacks to build.
To build what?
Are we talking about a hut? Are we talking about a house?
What does he have? Like 13 sacks, 15 sacks, in throughout his career in 3 seasons. I'm not gonna say this enough to build on.
No, because it's not.
Jay, 13 listen. 13
sacks and 38 QB hits is a good season, a very good season. That's 3 years.
Yes. Listen, Jay, nobody yells at you about that, but you, for some reason, come at Rashad Bateman. Like, every chance you get, you're throwing a slight diss at him. Now, yeah. I would love to draft Keon Coleman.
Just to put it in the context for you, 13 sacks and 33 QB hits is what Justin Madubuike had this year. So, you know.
And once again, that's a problem. He got hurt in his rookie season. He got hurt his second year. He got hurt last year. I mean,
he played 17 games his second year. He played 13 games.
But he played injured, so, you know.
Everybody plays injured. I don't care.
I'm not defending.
Everyone plays injured. Everyone.
All right.
Don't care.
I mean, you're right. And Agnes, we're not going to put up with defending Odafe Oweh. He balls out or he doesn't. I mean,
you better take that nonsense to life with Yolanda.
All right, our last segment for today. It's been a little bit longer than I expected. What do we do with these players? So, Brad, I'm going to give you some players. People in the chat, I'm going to give you some players. Let me know what we should do with these players for the upcoming season.
Get them out.
All right. First, we're going to start off with Justin Madubuike.
Get him out.
Really?
Is that it? Get him out. Look, one, he blew up in a contract year. That's a red flag.
Thanks.
He has 1 year of good production. That's a red flag. He happened with a defensive coordinator who is no longer on the team. That's mm-hmm. another red flag. And yes. if you bring him back, you're still going to be missing Patrick Queen, Geno Stone, you know, maybe Clowney and Van Noy, you know, guys who contributed a lot. And so the defense is still taking a step back regardless. So bring him back for what? Like you said about Brian Burns this past season, why would you bring him back to a team that won two games? Right?
Right.
That's what you said, right? So why are you going to bring him back when you know the defense is taking a step back regardless? Let him get paid somewhere else.
What's up, Darius? I mean, we don't know it's taking a step back. We haven't
concluded. It's taking a step back.
We have not concluded what the Ravens are going to do this offseason. And I mean, even if they do take a step back defensively, if they do what we keep asking them, what we keep begging them to do in building up this offense, it won't matter.
Exactly. So let him walk.
I mean,
it won't matter.
Give him the bag. Yeah, Jay, first round talent, Travis Jones, step up. Do what you're supposed to do. But I agree with you. I say 100% let him walk. Somebody said they franchise tag him. Franchise tag him would be worse than actually signing him to a new contract. Because if you sign him to a new contract, what you can do is kind of finagle the numbers to get that cap hit down for the first year or two. But if you franchise tag him, that's $20 million off the bat. That's $20 million that have to come off the books immediately. And the Ravens only have $7.5 million, maybe $8 million right now under the salary cap. And it may be a little bit different now that they sign Nelson Aguilar. So to me, tagging him is not an option unless they make some moves outside of that. Next up, you know it's coming. What do we do with Patrick Queen?
Get him out. You traded a second-round pick and gave a $100 million contract to his replacement. So now he has to be the replacement. You also drafted Trenton Simpson.
Facts. I say, Terry, so let him walk. Listen, it's bad blood in them waters. I mean, and I appreciate Pat Queen a little bit more now than I did before because he actually came out and said, hey, we keep doing the same stuff over and over again, and it's getting tiresome. Like, this is really stupid. So he essentially was calling out the coaching staff, and I give him the credit for manning up and not hiding behind the organization and saying what he really felt. So to him, I give him all the credit, but yeah we got to let him
walk. Last game as a Raven.
We got to let him walk.
In his last name was the Raven, he said it.
Yeah, money spent elsewhere. Listen, we don't need to wrap up $190 million in two inside linebackers.
No.
That doesn't make sense to me. All right, next up on the what do we do with this guy? And this is going to be a hot topic because I already know how Jose feels. But before we get to that, we got a superstar in the house. Shout out to my man, Suge Knight 323. For the $1.69 donation, he says, Jada 6 told me earlier on Fortnite that I was playing like Rashad Bateman. South Harmon Institute of Technology about to be a powerhouse on NCAA.
You know they're not going to let you use that name, right, Shug?
Right. Next, guys. I know how Jose feels about this. I know how Brian feels about this, but
you don't know me.
What do you think we should do with this individual? There, I think, can be a $15 million savings towards the cap if we release Ronnie Stanley and make him a post-June first cut. What do you think we should do with him?
I think that unless they can identify a replacement, they have to keep him. They need to go into a meeting with him and tell him, hey, you're going to have to either take a pay cut, restructure, whatever it is, and get that cap number down. But, I mean, and this is the part of Eric DaCosta that people don't like to talk about. You don't have another option on the team. You just don't, because he's been terrible at drafting the O-line. And honestly, hasn't even really tried at tackle. I mean, he drafted Daniel Falalele, who was just a right tackle. But you haven't even really tried to get a replacement or even a backup for Ronnie Stanley. Nobody thinks it's a good idea to roll out there with Pat McCary. So
somebody actually said that today. We got Pat McCary. Let him play left tackle.
Okay. Yeah, I bet you would rather trade him, but the problem is someone has to trade for him.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to have to say, like you said, we have to keep him. We don't have a suitable replacement, regardless if he is the Ronnie Stanley of old, regardless of how much money he's making. We don't have a player that can come in. Oh, that's right, Jose. Let Jesus take the wheel. We don't really have somebody that can come in and suitably take his place. Now, I know I see a lot of people saying restructure his contract, make him take a pay cut, but we've restructured Ronnie Stanley's contract so much, that's kind of why we're in the fiscal position that we're in right now. Because with him and Marlon Humphrey, we just kept kicking a can down the road. And unfortunately, even though the road never ends, it backed us into a corner. So now, because like what you said,
because your cap guys aren't good at their jobs.
They are not good at their jobs. And like you said, Eric DaCosta has not brought in a suitable replacement. In EDC, y'all trust. And this is why myself, Jose, Brodney, we say certain things about Eric DaCosta. And people don't seem to like it. You knew 3 seasons ago, Ronnie Stanley was injured. You knew he was injured. You knew the season after that, he couldn't come back and play. But yet and still, as the general manager of this team, you didn't say, man, I need to go out here and get a left tackle just in case Ronnie is not the player that we needed him to be. He didn't do it. He went out here and drafted all of these sucker MCs that just couldn't play the position. And once again, with Daniel Faalele and Masala, we went after big guys. Big guys that couldn't play the position. Big guys. I mean, and he may develop into something sometime in the future. But unfortunately, and the problem I think that we all share with this organization in this front office is we needed these players to play 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We needed these guys to perform 3 years ago when we realized what we had, Lamar Jackson. So don't give me, and like I said, Salah might turn out to be actually a decent one, but that might not be for another 2-3 years. And I know there's this segment of Ravens flock that thinks that Andrew Voorhees is miraculously going to come off an Achilles tear and do something. Like, he's going to come out here and be somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that? So we're going to have Voorhees at left tackle and Keaton Mitchell at running back, limping down the field. So I just need them to go out and do something and find a replacement. So even if you keep Ronnie Stanley for this year, this is the draft or this is the offseason, you find his replacement. Yeah. Just in case he's not the Ronnie Stanley that we need. Next up, we got his old cat buddy, Marlon Restructure Humphrey. Now, there was a report in USA Today and a report I saw somewhere that they were thinking about making Marlon Humphrey a post-June 1st cut. And Matthew Judon actually replied back saying the number 44 is available in the Patriots uniform. He was like, I like it. I like it a lot. So what do you think we should do with Marlon Humphrey? For me, I think that, and I hate to say this, cut him. Like, Marlon Humphrey can go because he's missing games. He's missed 8 games this season. He's been paid almost $100 million. And to me, he's performed well in the regular season. But to me, he's always disappointed me come postseason time. So when you're a big money player like that, I need you to show up in the big money games. And he doesn't do that. And this team found a way to win without him. This team found a way to not allow a 300-yard passer with him missing 8 games. So that kind of lets you know we can do this without you, but we do need to find a replacement for him. But I do say we take that $11 million savings in the cap and we let him walk. He can go be a Patriot. Couldn't care less.
Yeah, no, I think they can let go of Marlon, which sucks because he's not a bad player by any stretch, but he has been up and down. And that money needs to be spent on the offensive side of the ball. They need to go ahead and use use that money to go and do their best to build a wall around Lamar Jackson and to get some weapons, real weapons for Lamar Jackson. You got Zay, that's great. We all hope Keaton Mitchell comes back and can be that guy, but we don't know. And you need more than that anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, go get some people who you know
can Keaton Mitchell's not it. Thanks. Keaton Mitchell's not an every down back. Like he can't play. He can't. He can't carry the load of a full game on his shoulders. 10, 11 carries a game.
Right. Even in college, he was a 14 touch a game player. Right. And we're talking about this guy. People are calling him great and talking about the season he had. Yeah, he played great in a couple games. Mm-hmm. But what people don't mention there is that he also got two injuries in those 47 carries. One of them season ending.
True.
Right. The one knocked him out of the game. And I want to say the next week as well. I can't remember for sure, though. But he got hurt in the game where he had, what was it, like 8 carries? And then he tore his ACL later on. He had 47 carries this season. You know, and not to say that he can't be a valuable asset, because he definitely can. He showed that. Mm-hmm. But one, you don't bet on him coming back 100% after tearing his ACL late in the year. And two, you don't bet on a guy who's never been that workhorse running back being your entire offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a quarterback in college that only played 9 games and got drafted in the top 3, and they thought he was going to come out and be the starter for a Super Bowl team. Like, yeah, exactly. It just doesn't happen. Like, those things don't happen. You can't expect somebody to be who they are not.
Listen, they had the right plan with Trey Lance. Injuries did not allow that plan to play out. That's all.
So listen, Terry, listen, granted, this may be a weak cornerback class, but one of the things that we do need to do is we need to start coaching these players up. There have been plenty of players that played decent in college, became superstars when they got to the NFL, when they got into the right system. And more importantly to me, F them picks. Why are we relying on Eric DaCosta to go out here and make these picks and hope that we hit on them? The few picks outside of Hollywood, outside of possibly Zay, we only got one season, outside of Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Linderbaum, what picks have really done something that EDC has drafted that they haven't done until their contract year? What player has he drafted that came in and you were like, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we got him. Outside of those people that I named, we don't have them. So go out there and get established players that you know can play. Damn that first-round pick. This is the time to go all in, and I hate to go after the Los Angeles Rams model, but they've been to 2 Super Bowls. And the first time that they went to the Super Bowl, everybody was like, oh, no, that's not how you operate an organization. We don't do it like that around here. They're going to be garbage in a few years. And what did they do? They went back to the Super Bowl, and they won it. And then they had one down year because they had a lot of injuries. And then what happened last year? They're right back in the playoffs because they know how to draft. They don't need first-round picks to go out here and build a successful team. We do, because we don't have the coaching staff, nor do we have the front office that has an eye that sees the talent for what it is. Once again, they love height, weight, and speed. I don't know if they ever ask a player, do you love football? Like when they go into one-on-one meetings, do you ask a player, do you really love football? Do you eat, sleep, and breathe football? They don't. They say, oh, God, you're 6'6", 325 pounds, and you can run a 4.8 40. Draft him. We'll find out if you can play later. And unfortunately, we put him on the field, kind of like Falele, and realize this dude couldn't play to save his life.
The other part of that, too, is you're not drafting the class. You're drafting one player.
Thanks.
So it doesn't matter if it's a weak class or not, if you get a guy who can play. And just because draft analysts tell you that it's a weak or a strong class doesn't mean that that's actually true. I mean, we don't know how a lot of these players are going to turn out in the NFL. If you remember the edge rusher class of 2017, incredibly deep. It was a great class. Miles Garrett was number one, right? And they're like, you can get your edge rusher any point there, right? The rest of that edge rusher class, they did have Hassan Reddick, who eventually turned into a good player after about 4 or 5 years. But they had Solomon Thomas. No. They had Tack McKinley. Mm-mm. Charles Harris. No. Taco Charlton. No. Like Derek Barnett. Mm-mm. Bad.
He was in the Super Bowl.
So was Coney Ealy. The rest of that class didn't hit, but they said it was. They said it was an incredibly deep class,
right?
And it was so great at the top, but it just wasn't.
It wasn't.
Right? But again, it doesn't matter because you're only drafting one of those guys.
Thanks.
So if you go into this weak cornerback class, and you get one corner who can play, doesn't matter what everybody else got.
This is true. But then that brings me to another point. The trading back theory. So like you said, you had Myles Garrett, and then you had a bunch of other guys. And in a lot of drafts, after you get past a certain point, you're drafting for potential. Mm-hmm. And by the Ravens and Eric DaCosta constantly trading backward, we're getting to the less talented players. And you already said this was a weak cornerback class. If we keep trading back, we're going to start getting worse and worse draft picks, worse and worse cornerbacks. But of course, because we drafted 11 players, some people think that actually means something. On a 53-man roster, all 11 players, all 10 players, all 9 players aren't going to make your roster, especially if you have a team that is constructed to win now. If you got a bunch of bums, if you're a 2-win team and your team is just devoid of talent and you let your star linebacker go, that's one thing. But if you have a team that can challenge for the Super Bowl, you can't bring in 11 or 12 rookies and expect them to contribute to a championship team.
Yeah. But you want to know what else, too? Just to drive that point home about that weak class or a strong class there, all them busts. Yeah, Myles Garrett, Hassan Reddick, bunch of busts, and then TJ Watt. Right. So if you're sitting on the back end of that, you're like, man, we got the 8th best edge rusher in this class. No, you didn't. You got the best or second best in that class. And then there were a bunch of busts after him.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what draft Twitter says.
Facts. But you know what? And I hate the Steelers, but I have to give the Steelers credit. Their scouts can scout talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can find talent anywhere in the draft. Unfortunately for us, and I'm not just holding this to Eric DaCosta, because this happened with Ozzie a lot too. If it wasn't a first round pick, we wasn't hitting on it.
Yeah.
So there goes that. All right, last two, and don't clip this. I'm erasing this later on, so don't clip it. But last two, we're gonna decide right now what we're gonna do with these two players. Entering the season, these two players are entering their fourth season, and the Ravens have the option to pick up their fifth-year option. So we're going to decide right now, do they deserve it or do they not deserve the fifth-year option? And we're going to start with Jason Owe.
Why you got this messed up, man?
All right. Adafe Owe. I'm sorry. We're going to start with Adafe Owe. If the Ravens pick up his fifth-year option, he will be paid $12 million on next season. I think they have until May the 2nd to pick up this option or just let it go, and he will become a free agent after this upcoming season, just like Patrick Queen. What do you think we should do with him?
This one kind of depends for me. It kind of depends on how highly you really think of Chuck Smith, you know, the pass rush guru, and always work ethic and all that. Right, because he has shown ability, some, and you know, more important than just down to down, that he's shown that he can make plays when you need a play made. Mm-hmm. Right, he stepped up big in big moments a few times early on.
True.
So if you think that Chuck Smith is the real deal, and if Owe is putting in the work, I would say go ahead and pick it up, because $12 million is not a lot of money.
For
an edge rusher. I would say go ahead and take the chance on Owe, that you know, you can get it out of him essentially. Based off of what we've seen already, and just the fact that, again, $12 million is not a whole lot of money.
Okay. All right. And Pay the Bills says make him prove it. But see, the only problem with this Pay the Bills is we have no more tape. They have to pick this up before the season starts. Like, they don't get to watch him and then say, you know what, we're going to take this. We're going to pick up his fifth-year option. They either have to do it by May or not. So if he's done enough to them in his career for them to do it, and like Rodney said, $12 million is not a lot, but it is a lot to pay a player for a franchise whose back is always up against the wall with the salary cap. For me, I just don't think that, and like Rodney says, I can't.
You know, maybe at the GM position, but whatever.
Our capologist just ain't really good. Shout out to Chocolate Lady Cat for the $20 donation. She says, hey, guys. Hey, Chocolate Lady Cat. Appreciate you for dropping by, and appreciate you for donating to the channel. Yeah, I don't. I don't pick it up. I don't pick it up because supposedly after the season, next season, the salary cap is supposed to go up immensely. So that gives teams a little bit more room to play with the salary cap. And if he goes out and proves his worth, kind of like Justin Madubuike and Patrick Queen, then you can pay him the money. My thing is, don't give him that $12 million. He doesn't perform like he should, and then you let him go the next season anyway. Like, to me, it's just not worth it. Go out there and get you somebody else. Bring in a proven pass rusher. Bring in a Brian Burns. Leave him on the bench. Let Odafe go, and we sign Brian Burns to a long-term contract. There you go. Issue solved. Then you don't have to worry about Brian Burns anymore, Brady. We took that problem off your hands.
I'm not worried about Brian Burns. It's not a problem. And I don't know why Brandon's always talking about the Panthers. Like, it has any kind of relevance to what we're saying here.
I don't know. You know, some people like to troll. All right, last one. Also, being that we had two first-round picks in 2020, we also have, and this is the flocks divide on this one. Should we pick up the fifth-year option on Rashad Bateman? If they pick up the fifth-year option on Rashad Bateman, he will be paid $13 million. And this is for a player who has 1,300 yards for his career.
Yeah, no, I'm not picking up.
So that's a mill.
I'm not picking up Rashad Bateman's option. And I know I just said that $12 million is not a lot of money, and it's not. $13 million also is not that much money. But the reason I say no to Bateman, is because you have Zay Flowers already.
Right.
You've brought back Nelson Aguilar. You have, you know, for now, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. And my assumption, because everybody tells me what a great GM Eric DaCosta is, my assumption is you're going out and getting a number one or number two wide receiver this offseason, and there's not going to be anywhere for him to play. Right? With Owe, you know, the way is clear for him to be the guy.
Right.
But not for Bateman. If DaCosta does his job, they're not going to have any need for Bateman. Bowser's a much better player than Owe.
Facts. Bowser's a much better player, but he don't like the organization. I think they're just going to part ways. But as for Bateman, Rodney, did you not see the videos where Bateman was getting open and Lamar just wasn't hitting him? He's doing his job by getting open. It's just for some reason there's a lack of continuity when plays break down. All other players know the scramble drill, but Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, no, I watched the breakdown of the conference championship game, and there was a very obvious reason he didn't get the ball on every one of those plays where he was open and didn't get the ball. So, yeah. Ravens fans, they like to pretend they have a lot of secret superstars at wide receiver a lot. You don't.
Did you say secret superstars?
Secret superstars. Oh, just give them a chance.
That is true.
Oh, they just need an opportunity. No. The other thing with Bateman is when he does get the ball, he doesn't do anything with it. So, kind of is what it is.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Ravens fans just remember that one Miami game when he caught that slant.
The slant and took it.
And took it to the house. He took it to the house. And I think they said, oh, he has potential. But I also do remember there was a season, that same season, when Bate was number one, Duve was number two, Wallace was three, and Prochet was four. So he had the opportunity to shine and be the best wide receiver that the Baltimore Ravens had even before his injury. And he still wasn't doing it. So,
yeah, he was just dropping passes.
It's true. I might care about Babyface. All right, so I guess the All-Star, Jay's watching the All-Star game. He said, I don't know, baby. He said he didn't know the Babyface still performed. I didn't either.
Everybody love Babyface, man. What you talking about?
Yeah, I don't trust Baby either. I don't trust him either. So, we have a long way to go. These weeks seem to be flying by, but we have a long way to go before free agency starts, which is really just next month. And what are we, 18 days into February? So it won't be long.
Nah, Cam, he wasn't. He did get hurt. That part's true. But no, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't what?
Wasn't showing that he was a great receiver and, you know, making all these plays and all this stuff. He wasn't really doing that. He did get hurt.
He wasn't Cam. And I'm a Bateman supporter, and I was sitting there praying for the Ravens to draft him. And maybe this offseason it'll be different. But once again, if he goes out there and does the things that he needs to do and he proves it, he'll get the contract and he'll stay in Baltimore. But if he doesn't, then we just let him go. We know you playing, Brandon. Nobody take enough of serious over here. All right, Mark Andrews. Terry wants to know Mark Andrews. I'm guessing they are asking, what should the Ravens do with Mark Andrews?
They should. I'm not saying, you know, absolutely trade him away, like, you know, no matter what. But if they get a good offer, they should move him. Don't give him away. Mm-hmm. But if you get an offer for, you know, a second day pick, I think they should take it. I think you saw enough from Isaiah Likely, you know, in the end part of the season there, to say, hey, you know what, we can go ahead and move on. And by the way, you had to have been thinking that we're going to move Mark Andrews anyway, because why the hell did you draft two tight ends in the fourth round when you had Mark Andrews under contract already? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So if you get an offer for a second day pick, I will go ahead and move Mark Andrews and just wish him well elsewhere. Again, he's a good tight end. He's not a great player by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, time to send him on his way.
Let's pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes, Agnes. Pump the brakes, Agnes. He's not him. He may be him one day.
If even half of the people that Ravens fans say are him turned out to be him, y'all would have so many titles right now.
Thanks. But for me, I don't care if it's a third day pick. Trade Mark Andrews.
That's not nice.
And it's not, and it has nothing to do with Mark Andrews, but you can clearly see he's not the same Mark Andrews. Like, even when he runs, when he gets open and runs, he just doesn't have the same speed that he once has, and he's ailing. I think he has a lingering injury. And more importantly, we're trying to get away from Lamar looking for that comfort zone, knowing that he has Mark Andrews. And just for salary cap purposes, that's the reason. That's the reason why I think that we should move away from him. Just like I'm surprised, and I guess you didn't see my video, Bridie, because I had something really special. What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I had something really special for a certain player that nobody's talking about. Nobody's talking about this $4 million savings that we can have versus the cap if we let go of this one guy. One guy. And which I gave him guy? and I gave him the special Wheel of Fortune overlay, and it says people who annoy you in blank GGRS. You got it. Why is nobody talking about this? I think I read a publication earlier today talking about, you know, the Ravens could let him go or restructure him. And people jumped in and the conversation was like, yeah, we just need to restructure him and bring his cap hit down. Why do we need a fullback?
And you especially don't need a fullback who doesn't even make the plays that your last fullback made, who you let walk.
Facts. Did you see you checking the Super Bowl? Did you see the catch? I mean, you're going to say it's not a catch, but did you see the catch that he made in the Super Bowl?
It wasn't a catch, but that's not on him. That was an amazing effort.
It was.
And it wasn't a catch because the NFL has crazy rules on catches. But that was an incredible play.
First of all, don't down my niece like that.
What you said was he runs like a superstar.
Facts. He doesn't run like – she runs like a superstar. He runs like an old man. And I just don't think that he's worth the money.
He run like Pat Mahomes, straight back.
And listen, this is another guy. I don't understand. And I do understand, because I'm very big on loyalty. Like, loyalty is very high in my book. And I just don't understand why season in and season out, everybody says we need to keep Pat McCary because he's
I'll tell you exactly why. You don't move Pat McCary. Pat McCary is a fantastic value at $6.5 million and can play literally any position on the line. Now, he's not a great player.
He doesn't play him well.
Well, no, he plays some of them better than others, obviously. But he's not he's not Alejandro Villanueva out there. Like, he's a guy that you can plug in and get, you know, some reasonable play out of at any position on the line, and they've got that for $6 million. You don't move on from him. He's a very valuable piece. You move the hell on from Hard R Ricard, because he ain't worth shit.
I agree 100%. But it just, it boggles my mind that they feel the need to keep a fullback.
Yeah.
With a $6 million cap hit.
No, no, Black, he's not good trade, but you're not going to get anything in a trade for Pat McCary.
Listen, outside of San Francisco, Miami, maybe Minnesota, nobody's using the fullback. I give a damn about the fullback. They convert tight ends. They convert tight ends and put them as H-backs. And they do that. They don't pay a fullback. And if they do pay a fullback, the fullback's getting like a mil, maybe two. We're the only ones that went out there and said, I'm going to get this guy $6 million, and then I'm going to re-sign him and restructure his deal and give him more. And to Brodney's point, I love to say Lamar needs to check the ball down more. And Brodney says, to who? You're right. Is he going to check the ball down to Ricard and let him pick up the yard and a half and try to hurdle somebody that weighs 100?
Be killing.
And hurdle somebody that weighs 150 pounds less than him instead of running him over? Jesus. But, you know, this is just the beginning of the offseason. We're going to have a lot to talk about. Been here for an hour, 16 minutes. 62 people still in here. Make sure before you get out of here, make sure to like and subscribe to the channel. Also, make sure you go over to Lunch Break Hot Take, subscribe to them. Great, great content. You didn't have to show the logo. I was just about to put it up, but
no, I can't.
I know you fast on a trigger. But Brodney, before we get out of here, let the people know what you got going on and where they can find you, sir. Goodness.
Like I said, you can find me over on Lunch Break Hot Take. We do the LBHD show every Wednesday evening, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, followed up with the overtime show for patrons. You can find me over on Sip to Tally Films every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ravens Roundup, along with Jose, Hendo, Chris Just Joking, OTR Mike, and, of course, Coach Evans. On Tuesdays, you can find me over on Suge Knight 323 with Hendo and our good friend Suge doing the Steel Conspiracy. And then
Steel Claw.
That's not how Ravens sound, and that's not the name of the show.
I see a Panther, and I see a Steeler.
And then... sometimes when there's a big fight and we feel like it and we can find all the members, you can find me on Ring Kings Podcast with Jose and OTR Mike. Like Mike says, it's just the best boxing podcast on YouTube. And you can't prove us wrong because you ain't heard it.
It's a fact. I'm not even being biased. It's a fact. I'm saying it's the best boxing podcast out there. It's so good that even when I clicked on it, it didn't want to show it for a couple of times because it was like, I don't know where they are or when they're going to be. It is what it is. But listen, for a former boxing lover like myself, I used to love boxing, but I fell out of love with it. I don't know why. These guys have rejuvenated the love that I have for boxing. They're filling me in on the upcoming fights. So make sure you go over there, subscribe, check it out. I'm telling you, dope, dope time. Unfortunately, sometimes those streams will be 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. I ain't gonna hold you. They be late. Or sometimes on a Tuesday morning or a Thursday evening. Because some of them fights it's just wanky. But trust me, it is a very, very great show. Don't just watch Ravens content. Watch some other things. Get some entertainment in your life. Because we bring something for you guys every day of the week. Every day of the week. Whether it's Big Reg, Mr. J, sometimes Brandon Bozell, if he ever decides he's going to do it, he's not going to do it. Who knows? But also, you can check me out every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. with my man, Mr. Galloway, on Electric Relaxation with Mr. Galloway, talking all things hip-hop, especially old school. I do believe this week we have a special treat coming up, so make sure y'all go check my man out. Like, help, let's get his video numbers up. My man does some great, great content. You know, I just sit back and watch. You know, I hang on, try to keep up with the conversations, because he's an old man.
Wow.
He's a very old man. And also, if you just like
he's all like 3 minutes older than you.
Maybe. But also, if you just like all around content, whether it's movies, wrestling, trivia, the NFC least, whatever the hell it is, make sure you check out my man Ferris on Let's Get Ready Network, The Highlights. Trust me, there is some entertainment over there for everybody. And yes. Also, I would be remiss if I did not mention patrons. Time is coming. Let us know if you are going to join us on April the 6th. at the Ravens Stadium Tour. It is free to patrons. So make sure if you are a patron of this show, if you are a patron of LBHT, if you are a patron of Coach Evans, let us know. Spaces are limited. Time is running out. So if you want to be a part of it, sign up for Patreon. Or if you are already a patron, let us know. We are going to go over there, have a good time, tour the stadium, take some pictures. And then afterwards, we're going to hang out, get something to eat. Your man hit me up and I saw he was like, yeah, my restaurant's open. The Ravens restaurant is open.
Nice.
So, you know, I don't know if we can work something out on that aspect of it. It's Marcus Payne. But, you know, we'll find somewhere to go, somewhere to eat, hang out, good time. If you missed the Ravens roundtable, the meet and greet, make sure you come hang out with us at the stadium. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the love that you show. Thank you for supporting. Make sure you go watch the videos, like, subscribe, give your family members something to watch. If they want to learn about sports, one of us will teach them. One of us will learn you something. So make sure
you go out. And like Ferris said in the chat there, you can also catch him on Tuesday nights on his radio show, I Got Something to Say. And he doesn't have the link in the chat, but it's over on KSFS Radio. And I'm sure Ferris will provide you with that link.
Yes, indeed. Listen, Ferris is a very good friend of ours. He is a part of this community that we have built. He's an asshole, but he is an outstanding entertainer. I can't hold you. Ferris is outstanding at what he does. I don't like telling him this because he's really egotistical and he's really high on himself, but he's really good at what he does. So if you don't check out the channel, make sure you go check out his radio show. Interesting topics, interesting guests. Like Ferris does some things. He interviews some people you wouldn't really expect him to interview.
Yeah.
And he gives you some really good stuff. But that's our time for this week. Anything else, Bronny, before we go? Because somebody can watch this All-Star game.
No.
What? You sure? Or do y'all want us to go? Do y'all want us to go another hour? Because I almost hit the end stream like three times. Like we can keep this going. Like we can talk.
Oh, what do you mean we can keep this going?
Oh man, listen. Listen, Marcus, we gotta get up to see what we can make. We can make
you know when he said that he meant French fries, right? They got no vegan food.
But here's the thing. I'm used to going places and just getting French fries. I'm used to that.
Well, I mean, it's not. I was gonna say we don't want that for you, but I mean that's what vegans deserve.
All right, here's the link to his radio show. Make sure you go check him out. Very dope creator. Not just for content. Just Ferris is a very entertaining young old man. If you don't know, Ferris is 85 going on 20. You know what I mean? That's right. Listen, this is what I'm talking about. See, this is the community we built outside of Brighton. It's the Ravens community. You stay back.
Okay. I will not be attending the stadium thing then.
You're lying. You're going to be there. They got black bean burgers. That's what's up. So if we can work something out, Marcus, hit me up on Twitter. I'll give you my phone number or Jose or Brighton or whatever. We'll get up with you. You know, come join us on the stadium tour. Then we can come do something at your restaurant if possible. But for real though, we are getting out of here to go watch this All-Star game. Make sure check us out throughout the week. 7:15 p.m. Wednesday night, lunch break hot take. Monday night, sip the tally. 9 p.m. Ravens roundtable. I don't know if are we doing a show Monday?
I don't know. I assume so. Classic behind the scenes stuff.
I mean, we can always talk football. Hope we can talk life.
Classic behind the scenes stuff.
Well, then I guess we need to get behind the scenes then.